Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Joseph Kerr, Advantage table game player, who regularly finds positive opportunities on cruise ships. It's been a few weeks since we've had a live show. Richard is still off in Texas somewhere, either filming a movie or playing the secret game. More than a week ago, golfer John Daly made some headlines saying he lost something like $55 million while gambling over the last several years. But he had fun doing it, so he thinks it's worth it. What do you think about this, Richard?
Wow. I mean, this guy would make the greatest BP since Phil Ivey. Just imagine what you could win with him in a casino.
Well, Phil Ivey's days might be numbered. So.
Well, that's true. But prior to the lawsuits, you know, he had the best reputation you could have. You know, he was looked on as, you know, as a big sucker. And, well, he turned the tables.
Would you think Daly would be controllable? I mean, he's a compulsive guy. So I don't know all his demons, but he's had issues with various habits. And I don't know if he would be controllable.
Yeah, that is often the problem with the with those sort of very high-profile, wealthy BPs.
All right. We got an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Seems like this quarter video poker player won 3 years in a row at the Peppermill Casino in Reno to the tune of $14,000 and was basically cut off from benefits. The player was surprised. He thought being cut off for benefits was reserved for bigger players only. It's relatively rare when quarter single line players get cut off, unless they're playing, you know, 100% games only. But it happens. If you win fairly large for a couple years in a row, it makes sense to take a year away from the casino. Casinos are plentiful enough that playing the second best place beats overplaying your first place and getting cut off. Do you have any comments about this, Richard?
Oh, it just shows how, I can't say the word, chicken bleep, you know, casinos are. But it also shows you just can never be too careful. I mean, if he wasn't playing 100% games, you know, why are you using a player's card? Or maybe his EV came from the player's card, but it just shows that, you know, no matter how little you're winning, you have to disguise that from the casinos. You know,
actually, being ahead $14,000 for a quarter player, where the maximum royal is $1,000 over 3 years, is significantly lucky, or something. It was he quoted some numbers in the email that I have no way to verify, but it was something like he was playing with he ended up 1% ahead on his coin in, which is a lot to get over time. So
yeah, I mean it would depend on the number of hours he plays, too. You know, if he only plays, you know, 50 hours a year or something, then over 3 years, it's not as big a deal as if you play, whatever, 1,000 hours a year or 500 hours a year. But still, it's just ridiculous. Casinos bar red chip blackjack players, too. And it's just stupid. And
that's what this is. Quarter video poker is like a red chip blackjack player.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's talk to our guest. Joseph Kerr grew up in northern Indiana, became interested in blackjack after seeing an MIT team documentary. He bought a couple of books and started practicing. Gradually, he met other players, and with the help of Gross Jeans CAA, gradually became a competent player. He now lives in Florida and regularly takes cruises for the gambling opportunities. Joseph Kerr, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Do you prefer we use your formal name of Joseph Kerr, or can we just shorten it to Joker or even Joker?
Whichever you prefer.
All right. Joseph.
Joseph it is then.
In general, how easy is it to find advantage plays on cruise ship compared to finding them in a casino?
Well, on a cruise ship, I mean, the one thing you have against you compared to a land-based casino is, of course, you get out there, and if you find out you strike out, you can't just walk to the next door. You're stuck on there for a few days or a week. But however, if you do find a game, you're out there for a week, but the same dealers, you know, usually working 40 to 50 hours a week at minimum. So as long as you can, I mean, you see them the first day, the hardest part is just finding out which table they're going to be on next, since they rotate quite a bit.
That was the problem that I took a couple of Carnival cruises, and that was the problem I ran into, was the dealers seemed to rotate every 20 or 30 minutes. So, yeah, you had to constantly be figuring out where they were going next and whether they were even going to be on a game you wanted to play.
Are the dealers on cruise ships worse than you find in most casinos?
Worse? I mean, I think probably they're not trained as well as land-based casinos, because it's a cruise ship with a casino. It's not a casino. I mean, that's not their priority. They just offer that as a form of entertainment. And most of these aren't, you know, the employees on there come from other countries where they don't have quite the level of advantage play that we do here in the States. So I think they're not trained to handle more than just card counting or things like that. I mean, they learn, you know, basic look for people, you know, varying their bets. And beyond that, they don't really know what they're looking for, in my experience.
How many cruises do you take a year?
Well, I've just started going on many in the past year or so. With anybody who plays at Caesars or various properties like that, know that you get them in the mail quite regularly. And given my location, about an hour and a half from the Port of Miami, it's pretty easy to get over there. So in the past year, I'd say I've taken about 8, give or take.
And are you primarily taking them as a money-making venture, or is it sort of half vacation, half I'm going to make money?
I'd say it's probably about 80-20, 80% vacation. However, if I'm out there and there's an opportunity, I'll definitely take full advantage of it, especially given the fact that the casinos usually aren't open in port. So, I mean, one cruise ship's the same as every other one. So you play while you're at sea, you get into port, see a new place, and then, you know, have fun, make money, and get more future cruises.
Well, but eventually, like only 8 cruises in a year is not a trivial amount, but you keep this up for a few years, and you will have seen all the ports of call twice.
True.
So then presumably it will go to from 80% vacation to 20% vacation, and the rest work.
But do those ports of call, I mean, many of those ports of call have casino, land-based casinos, right? I mean, or do you have enough time to go hit the land-based casinos?
Well, generally the time at the port is only a few hours, like most common being like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if you do happen to find, say, like I'll use the Nassau as an example. Say you go to to Atlantis at noon, there's like 3 tables open and 8 people in the entire place. So there's not much going on, unfortunately, to where you can take much advantage at the land-based casinos.
It would be a good way to scout, though. You know, you could hit all the ports, check out all the casinos, see where you want to go back to for a separate trip.
Yeah, actually, interesting, I went to a different casino in Nassau last time I was there, and there was a casino only had table games between the months of November and April, I believe it was, and this is in September, so I didn't have a chance to follow up on it, but I just thought it was interesting that a lot of these places don't even open their casinos during the summer down there.
Huh.
Are the pit critters on cruise ships competent at identifying and restricting various kinds of advantage players?
Various types, probably. I mean, a lot of them, especially on Norwegian, they seem to have the most established casinos on board with the rating system and competent pit crew. However, it seems like they're mostly looking for, you know, people spreading their bets or that appear to be counting. As far as other forms of advantage play beyond that, I don't think they, I mean, in my experience, they haven't seemed very well at identifying that. But I've heard stories of people being backed off from cruise ships for counting.
Now, I think I've heard stories of people having their money confiscated. Have you heard? Have you had any of those kind of problems, or have you heard of any of these kind of problems?
Fortunately for me, I haven't had any issues with this. Unfortunately for the show, I can't report on that. The biggest thing I've had was, and this is actually not on a cruise ship, just coming back from Bahamas on a flight, just having issues at customs, but no problems as far as money being confiscated or any type of countermeasures towards me. I don't know if I wasn't aggressive enough or if I didn't win enough or what their thresholds are, or I've just been lucky.
So issues at customs. Now, does this relate to the $10,000 limit or something else?
It was similar to that. It's just because, I mean, fortunately, they don't seem to worry too much because they're trying to pass like 2,000 people through their customs within a matter of hours. However, yeah, it was because I was bringing a large amount of money and I declared it, and my girlfriend had some money on her at the time as well, and they tried to, you know, they thought we were trying to sneak some across, and I showed plenty of documentation that I had, you know, had it legally, I'd won on the casino, things like that. And eventually, after trying to, you know, separate us and question us on all these different things, they eventually let us go, and I realized we weren't lying or trying to hide anything.
So this is important. If you are taking more than $10,000 on a cruise, you need to declare it both going out of the country and coming back in, correct?
Correct.
And you've never had any problems in either direction other than that one sort of delay?
Right. And usually I only take about $9,000 with me going out just to be on the safe side. And because I'm still, like, there's even the table limits don't allow to where you can win that much if, in my experience. There are, I mean, a couple games sometimes, but usually, like, especially with carnival games, the limits are relatively low. I think 3 card might be like 100, 200. And I've been to the point where I haven't really needed to carry more than 10,000 with me going on the ship.
And okay, and so have you declared more than 10,000 coming in more than that one time? I mean, have you had other times where you went through and it was no problem?
Yeah, I just write the amount on the form and I go through, they look at it, look at my passport and say, have a good day. It takes a couple extra seconds, but I figure it's because they'll tell you obviously that it's not criminal to have money, although recent stories seem to make you think otherwise.
It is on the road in northern Arizona.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, but I figure it's best just to, you know, not try to hide anything, declare it. And so far, my experiences have been only positive with the exception of that one.
Yeah, I had an experience coming through customs where I declared, you know, that I was with my wife and children, and I declared that we were bringing in 18,000. And when I got to the customs officer, he said, "You have 18,000?" And I said, "Well, no, I only have about 9, and my wife also has about 9. He goes, "Oh, well, you're under 10, then you can go right through." And I was like, "Well, it says per family." He was like, no, it's okay. So I don't know. In my case, I don't think the customs officer really understood the rule, but I was happy that he waved me through.
Interestingly enough, I had an opposite experience because depending on who you talk to, they declare or they determine that if a household is married or just living together. Usually, like when we get off a cruise ship, they give us 2 of the forms because we have different last names. However, this past time, they said that since we are living together, we are a single family unit, and the 10,000 applied to both of us combined.
Huh. Yeah, so.
Then it is.
Yeah. Just like the CTRs, often the casino really doesn't know what the rules are. And I guess with customs, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is very inexpensive to rent a post office box near where you live. It would make sense for one, either you or your girlfriend, to change their address to the post office box to avoid this.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's really, like I said, aside from the one time, there hasn't really been another issue. So I'm comfortable with, you know, declaring. I don't really want to structure the money because I carry, you know, W2Gs, other things on me that show that I gamble, you know, as a profession, which really came in handy this one time at customs. However, I think it's just better just to show as much paper trail as possible outside of casinos to show that you're, you know, acting legally and not carrying large amounts of money, you know, from drugs or something that they tend to suspect.
Now, you mentioned, I think, in your notes, I saw that Carnival had 8 deck blackjack games. Is that right?
Yeah. The low limits were 6 to 5, I believe. And I think some of their higher limit tables may have been 6 deck. However, I've only sailed Carnival a couple times, mostly in their slower seasons when they're practically giving the cruises away. But most of my experience is with Norwegian.
And are the games hand shuffled?
Yes. Almost everything on Carnival is pitch or hand shuffled. Very few. I don't know if I've ever seen any type of shuffling device on there that I can think of.
Yep. I've been on a couple of Carnival cruises, not out of Florida, but out of L.A. One out of L.A. and one out of Alaska, but they had CSMs on the ships I was on, but the Carnival games were all pitched, so that was that turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah, and again, your own at that point. I mean, I've run into the same thing, and it's just that dealer rotation really just as soon as you do get a seat, especially on busy nights, dealer gets bounced, and who knows where they're going next.
Now, on those cruises out of Florida, do they have poker?
Norwegian, they have either like one table of a live dealer, or they'll have an electronic version. Usually it's 1-2 or 2-5, no limit.
Yeah, on the cruise I was on, the Alaskan cruise, they had one of those electronic tables, and it was unbelievable how bad the players were. And the other thing was, these electronic tables, they're flat, and if you put your hands over your cards, it shows you what your cards are, but hides that from the other players because your hands are over them, even though you're just putting your hands on an electronic screen. But I think the other players felt like they were playing a machine, so their facial reactions were just ridiculously obvious when they would look at the cards or, you know, when the flop or the turn would come. You know, it was probably the weakest poker game I had ever played in, but the stakes were pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, I've witnessed some people playing. Unfortunately, I don't play any poker, but after some of these cruises, I wish I did, or I've considered taking it up, because I think that'd be a gold mine out there. And the people you see, you know, either here or Atlantic City, these people aren't going on cruises to play poker. So, I mean, you're playing with people out there on vacation who want to play a little poker for fun, so it's a completely different crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if they have 2-5 on those cruises, that that sounds like it could be very lucrative. They also had some tournaments, like they had a blackjack tournament on the cruise I went on, but it was structured so badly that it really was not, and the rake was something ridiculously high that it turned out not to be worth playing at all.
Yeah, I've heard Norwegian actually has one of the worst rakes out there, I mean, of any casino, but it makes sense because there's no competition.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have a captive audience, so.
Mm-hmm.
Some cruise ships, casinos have slot clubs. Do you find these are worth taking advantage of or basically useless?
Well, the three lines I've sailed with being Norwegian, Carnival, and Royal Caribbean. Royal Caribbean has hardly any slot club at all. You pretty much have to request to be rated. I mean, they don't have slot cards or anything. Usually you have to show them big action on tables before they even like look at you, which can be good or bad. And like they don't seem to have – their machines are pretty old. Everything seems outdated. Carnival, they've a little more of a slot club, and they use your room key as a player's card. However, most of their table ratings are done by Excel spreadsheets and seems pretty inefficient. So, I mean, if you're trying to, you know, do some Comp City – type plays on there, that'd probably be a good place to do it. And Norwegian, they seem to have there seems to be loosely based on like the Caesars Harris system with the way their slot club works.
Now, have on these cruises that you've taken, have they all been comps, or do you ever pay full price for a cruise?
Well, there's been a couple of times, especially September, October, in the slow time of season for cruises, where it was actually cheaper to pay the full fare than it was to take one of these comp cruises. I think we've paid, like, for a 5-night, $99 plus tax per person, which equaled out, I mean, all-inclusive of gratuities and everything, less than $500 combined for two people.
How is that possible? How is it possible they have a paid cruise cheaper than a free cruise?
Well, Norwegian tends to charge like a flat rate per day, in my experience, which, Bob, you can back me up on this one, about how much their taxes and fees are on Norwegian per day on average.
Usually on a seven-day cruise for two people, it's around $500.
Right, and it's just like they seem to charge a flat rate per day no matter where you're going or where you're from, and then you tack on your gratuities and that. But sometimes you book it outright. If you're going to only like Nassau or one or two ports, your taxes may be $90 for the entire trip.
And when you're talking about paying full price, you're talking about paying full price off of a website of discountcruises.com or whatever the website name is. Is that correct?
Yeah, or even if you go on, say, Carnival's site or Norwegian's a couple weeks before the cruise, because that ship's going with or without you, and if they have empty rooms, they're going to do what they can to fill them because they know you're going to spend money once you're on board. An empty room's not making them any money, just like a hotel or anything of the sort.
Wow, so you were able to find $99 cruises for 5 nights? Or
99
whatever?
A day.
No, 99 for total, 99 plus tax for the whole cruise.
So it
ended up being like $29 a night. I mean, it was ridiculously cheap.
Oh, per night?
$29 per night for $99 plus tax. So approximately $170, $180 then plus a gratuity. So all in all, for two people, we paid less than $500 out of pocket total for the entire week.
Wow.
Because we ended up going, like last September, we went on two back-to-back. We got off the ship off of a Carnival ship on a Friday, stayed in Miami over the weekend, and got another ship Monday morning with Norwegian. That one actually ended up being $109 plus tax, which, again, was cheaper than some of the 7 days we go on that are comped.
Except 3 nights in Miami blew that out of the water.
Yeah. Well, at that time of year, hotels are cheap, too, because it's so hot. I mean, after the kids are back in school before Thanksgiving, that's a really slow time in Florida. So, I mean, just like cruises, you can take advantage of deep discounts. And being a resident, you get even further discounts down there.
Now, my understanding is there's no eye in the sky on these cruises. Do you have any information on that?
I mean, there's definitely cameras. However, I've never had anything where they said surveillance said this, or they've never had an instance where they tend to back a hand up. So I've never had any experience with that. So, I mean, maybe those domes are for looks. I mean, it could just be, you know, like some of them.
What I was told is that there's no one watching the cameras, but if there is a problem, a boss can go to some surveillance room and rewind tapes and look at them, but there's nobody actually watching live.
Honestly, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, some of these cruises operate. People play pretty aggressive, and I've never heard anything that would give any type of hint that surveillance was watching.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that you had brought back W2Gs with you. My experience on cruise ship is that video poker sucks big time. Now, is your experience any different than that?
No, the video poker is awful. I mean, I've seen games as terrible as 8-5 bonus poker, but
8-5 bonus is good.
Not when the two pair pays one for one.
That's bad.
I think I calculated it out of curiosity to be an 86% game or something like that.
I would have bet 88, but okay, go ahead.
I'll defer to your judgment. But yeah,
86 and 88 are equally enticing to me.
But no, the W2Gs are actually from land-based casinos. My girlfriend maybe still had it in her wallet or in her purse, but it's just good to keep them on us just in case something comes up. Because, you know, actually that happened at one point, and, you know, the customs agent was like, "Why are you in Atlantic City?" Like, because this is what I do, you know. I play full time, so I bounce around quite a bit. None of the W2Gs were actually from the ship.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Now,
so the video poker was all bad on the ships.
Yeah, I mean, the best I've found was a $5 single line, I think 8-5 jacks or better, which still isn't worth it. And their comps anyway, if you were to play a good game, don't make it worth it. I mean, you're getting so many cruises as it is, the only thing they're going to entice you with are more cruises.
Or you can get, they'll sometimes give you a free meal for two in the steakhouse, which is normally $50 per couple. Although if you do it on Wednesdays, it's only $25 a person. So that's better. So, good. Now, other than the straight gambling, are there any special deals on cruise ships once you're on the cruise ships that you can exploit either while you're in a casino or elsewhere on the ship?
Well, one thing we've started doing is I know Norwegian especially offers where you can place future or deposits on future cruises. You have up to 4 years to use them. They're transferable. But if you know you're going to go on another comped cruise within the next 4 years, you put $250 down, and they give you either $100 onboard credit or $125 in free play, and you can do this up to four times per cruise. So you deposit $1,000, and you can get $400 off your stateroom bill or $500 in free play.
Oh, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and they work towards comped cruises, so net goes towards your taxes and fees that you're going to pay either way. So, I mean, it's crazy not to if you have an established player history at Caesars, Harrah's, or any place that offers these cruises.
Now, I understand, I've heard this before from Bob. I'm not a video poker player, but so as I understand it, you get a lot of free cruises from Harrah's. Do you have to be Diamond to get that, or what do you have to be to get these free cruises from Harrah's?
Not necessarily Diamond. I think you just have to have a high enough average bet. I believe Harrah's uses the ADT, or Average Daily Theoretical Method, to where, I mean, if you have a high enough, either on machines or tables, high enough theoretical, then you'll get these offers almost like monthly, it seems like.
Wow, monthly.
I mean, it makes sense because Norwegian has it figured out to where they know you're going to gamble anyway, so they're going to get you out there stuck on their ship with their only casino. Where else are you going to play?
Well,
Bob, how many cruises a year do you take?
It really varies. And I did have a 4-week honeymoon plan where we were going to take three weeks of those. We're going to be on different cruises in Europe. And that got canceled due to Bonnie's health. So I just...
Are those going to be comps?
Oh, yeah, they're all comps, sure. And so I just married Bonnie, and I don't really know what our pattern is yet. When I was... Earlier, I was with Shirley, and we were both 7 stars and could get... We could get 4 or 5 cruises apiece a year. And so often we would take a couple with us officially I would be rooming with the other woman and Shirley would be with the other guy. And then when we got on ship, we changed things around appropriately. So
you swinger you.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm the best 67-year-old swinger on this host on this whole show.
I got a good story for that one, but
oh please, I don't know where to go with this.
Go ahead.
We're floundering here.
Well, no, we were actually on a cruise a few months ago, and we were in Cozumel, and there was a couple ships docked there. It was us being on Norwegian. There was a Royal Caribbean ship, and we're just doing the tourist thing. Went to Senor Frogs and Carlos and Charlie's, and my girlfriend and I are in there for a little while, and like it was getting a little interesting. A lot of balloon shapes, things like that. And these people kept coming up to us, asking if we'd like to join them. And we're like, no, no, we're good. And like after like the third or fourth couple, we're like, what's going on here? And this other gentleman comes up to us and says, what ship are you on? We're like, we're on the Norwegian Dawn, I think it was at that time. Like, oh, okay. Like, we're from the Royal, I forget, it was a Royal Caribbean ship, but it was a swingers cruise. And they were in port at the same time we were. And... I mean, so because we were just flabbergasted, like, what is going on here? There's like 5 couples that just keep coming because we're sitting there having a couple of drinks. And I mean, you can imagine how surprised we were because the first time somebody like hinted at, we thought it was a joke. then we realized very quickly that they were serious.
Well, it sounds like your girlfriend is attractive enough that I'm sorry she isn't here tonight.
So you take Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, Carnival. Which is the nicest cruise ship to take? I mean, which are the better cruises?
Well, I prefer Norwegian. I like the freestyle dining. You eat when you want, where you want. Carnival and Royal Caribbean tend to have you dine at 7 p.m. every night, same people, same place. And it's like if I'm on vacation or if the casino is open, I like to be a little more flexibility. And I have by far the most experience on Norwegian, but I have relatives who swear by Royal Caribbean up and down. But for price compared to ship, I'd say Norwegian's my favorite by far.
Well, Carnival, there's a lot of ships in the Carnival family, and Carnival is a low end.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are higher end in the same. So Norwegian is slightly higher end than the basic Carnival. So
Carnival seems to have a lot more families and a lot more noise. And being on vacation, I prefer a little more quiet or just relaxing and not kids running around or just, rap music blaring 24/7. So, I mean, that's just my idea of a vacation. Everybody's different.
When we were talking a couple days ago about this, you mentioned something about match play coupons. How did that work?
Okay. On Carnival, actually, if you join their Cheers program, which is where you pay, I think, $50 a day per person for unlimited alcoholic drinks, you can actually use this to your advantage to where every time you go to a bar anywhere on the ship, they'll give you a receipt. And if you take that receipt to the cashier in the casino, they'll give you a $5 match play. Now, these receipts don't show that you've actually bought the Cheers program, so they think you bought the drink. You get the $5 match play, and they'll give you as many as you want. And I think the Cheers program limits you to like 15 drinks a day, which if you drink that much, you're a champ. I mean, if you don't, you can get these drinks for free, go get the match play and sell the drinks for a dollar or give them away and go have fun at the tables or, it's a little EV. I'm not saying you're getting rich, but if you're on the ship anyway and have time to kill, why not?
So how much do the drinks cost anyway?
Drinks are generally, they're not that overpriced considering, but they do add up quick. If you, anywhere from like six, well, the beer seems really overpriced at about $6 each, but the mixed drinks and cocktails are only a couple dollars more.
So the if you're drinking mixed drinks, they cost $8, but you're getting a $5 match play back.
Exactly.
Well, you're not recommending you actually pay for these, correct?
No, I mean, I'm saying if you're out there and you want to drink a lot and you're not don't have the drink card with Norwegian, then I would say go for the Cheers program because it's $50 a person and they do make both people in the state or everybody in your stateroom pay for it because they know you're not – otherwise you'll just buy one for you and give it to the person in your room and they make you do it every single day. You can't like stock up. But if you're out there to have a fun time and party and drink, this is definitely the way to go.
So the Cheers program, you pay $50 and you get 15 drinks a day?
Yeah, it's $50 a person per day. So it's $100. Say it's two people in a stateroom, it'd be $100 extra per day per stateroom, and it's like pretty much open bar.
Oh well, so you could end up paying for your Cheers program that way with the match plays.
Yeah, I mean, I think the EV on a $5 match play is only like $2.50. But I mean, if you get enough drinks and if you can still keep your eyes open by the time that 15th drink's done, then yeah, you could almost break even, I suppose.
Are 30 drinks a day enough for you and your girlfriend? Or
well, actually, we've never done the Cheers program because when we do Norwegian, we just get the drink card at the casino. And in my experience, if you go up to the bartender on the first day, show them that you're generous and don't mind, tipping a few extra dollars per drink, they don't always pay attention if you're actively gaming when you get the drink. So that's,
now, how does that work? You get a card from the casino that allows you to drink for free?
Yeah, every time you get a Norwegian cruise comped, like say through Caesars or anything, the day you board, you have an envelope in your stateroom with the player's card and a drink card for house drinks, and that's good. It says it's good when you're actively playing, but again, these people are working for tips, and if you're not actively playing, they don't seem to notice as long as you're nice and don't mind, throw them a couple dollars each time.
Huh. So, that seems a much better way to go then.
Oh, for sure. But I'm saying if you're on Carnival,
and you still get the $5 match play too?
No, I'm sorry. This is two different cruise lines. If you're on Carnival, that they have the Cheers program, but Norwegian is one that offers a drink card with the free cruises.
I see.
And I know that I think Carnival, you can, if you earn so many points playing, you can earn a drink card. And I think the same with Norwegian, but it's a pretty high. The same with Royal Caribbean, but that's set pretty high to where you'd ultimately end up paying for those drinks anyway.
Now, what games are actually offered on the various lines in the casino?
It's pretty standard to what you find here on land. A lot of blackjack, three card, let it ride. Still a lot of Caribbean stud out there. And Carnival actually has its own knockoff of Spanish 21 called Ultimate Fun 21. It's similar rules, but instead of taking the tens out, they take the queens. So I guess they changed it just enough to get around the patent or the...
Yeah, paying the royalty.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about that is it is early surrender, so that can be a very fun game to play.
Huh. That's on Carnival.
Yes. And it's 8-deck, yeah.
And do any of them have Ultimate Texas Hold'em or Mississippi Stud? Or?
I saw an electronic version of Mississippi Stud once, and Ultimate Texas Hold'em is definitely gaining in popularity on cruise ships within the last year or two. I've seen it on almost every Norwegian cruise I've been on, and Carnival seems a little more out. And Carnival and Royal Caribbean aren't as up to date with their games. It's mostly three card and let it ride and Caribbean stud, but Norwegian's definitely seems to keep up with present day games.
Did you happen to notice? Do any of these cruise ships have roulette wheels?
Yeah, actually, they all do. They all have craps. All have roulette. And those tables are usually one or two tables each, but I think every cruise ship has it.
Do you think you can scout a roulette wheel quickly enough on a 7-day cruise, Munchkin, to be able to take advantage of it in the last few days?
You never know.
You never know. I guess he's not talking about that. All right. So
it went in the waves, like somehow throw off the. Well, I don't know what you're getting at here, but I think the waves that somehow any type of wheel bias would get knocked off by that. But that's neither here nor there.
So, aggressiveness. Do you aggressively, can you be more aggressive applying your advanced techniques at the end of a week than you are at the beginning of the week? Or is there a difference or what?
Well, I mean, at the beginning, you're always getting to a new ship, new crew, so you never know what exactly you're going to find or how long you're going to be on there. But after you can work on conversation, get to know them a little bit, because these people do work 60 to 80 hours a week generally. So, I mean, you see them all day, every day. By the end, you build up comfort level and you ramp up your bets or aggressiveness. Or if you're talking about play deviations, the people on cruise ships, like Richard mentioned earlier about poker, it's the same in any other game. People play so terribly that you can play however you want, and most people don't bat an eye, except for other civilians who claim to be experts.
How have you ever had a big win on any of these cruise ships, and how did they take it?
Nothing like too remarkable. Again, just being because as soon as you get in a good groove, your dealer gets bounced, or the opportunity it's hard to get on table again. But they tend to take action pretty well, and as long as if you're playing blackjack, as long as your bet doesn't change too much, they don't seem to pay too much attention. And especially if it's a busy night, there's only one or two pit personnel for 10 tables, so they're too busy worrying about buy-ins and cash outs to where you're the least of their worries.
Do you think I need to take more cruises?
Do you do you take advantage of lines of credit? Do you find that a good deal, or are there any advantages to having a line of credit on a cruise ship compared to bringing the cash with you?
Generally, I've always just brought the cash with me. I've never dealt with casino credit, generally because I'm afraid of what might happen if they weren't happy with my action, or if they, for some reason, they didn't want to pay me everything, things like that.
Yeah, they have your real name, but to get credit, you have to give up your social security number. So,
yeah, and if I have the money in my pocket. They could take it in theory, but it's a lot less chance of happening than if I'm playing on their dime.
Yeah, I'm a video poker player who plays for stakes where W2Gs are likely. And mm-hmm. so giving up a social security number is a bullet that I bit long time ago.
Well, yeah. On a cruise ship where the video poker is that awful, that's one thing you're going to avoid no matter what. So why volunteer if you don't have to?
Because it's not always so awful. There have been some advantage video poker plays, rarely, but I have found them not recently.
I'll keep a bigger eye out next time.
Now, if you have a dispute with a ship casino, what legal options do you have? Have you looked into this?
I've done a little research on it, and unfortunately, it seems like not much. I mean, you can contact, when you get back to your port of call, local authorities, or actually the FBI, because if it happens in international waters, I mean, there's maritime law, which is so convoluted that nobody understands it, it seems like. And since you're following since most cruise ships are flagged in other countries, say the Bahamas or Panama, you're operating under their laws. So if they say that, you know, this type of method, or this method of hole carding is illegal, or, you know, actually there have been, then it's the law of the land, similar to Indian casinos. But I've heard stories of where, you know, there's been like assaults, robberies, things like that on cruise ships, and it's just like you contact the FBI and it's not high enough on their priority list for anything to, you know, happen with it.
Yeah, I would be even more worried on a cruise ship than I would in an Indian casino, and that's saying something.
Running away is not the easiest out there.
Yeah, how long can you tread water?
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So have you decided, Richard, that instead of you should go on more cruise ships to, no, you're good without going on cruise ships?
The cruises I went on, I enjoyed as vacations, and I did find, you know, a little something, you know, on the cruises I was on. So, I definitely would like to do some more, although I would like to explore this whole Caesars option and get them comped. You know, that sounds much better than paying for them. Although if I can find them for $99, I mean, maybe not.
You're likely going to have to give up your social security number for Caesars to get it comped. How badly do you want to go?
Or you just play a lot of quarter video poker.
I can play, you know, table games.
Sure.
Without giving up a social security number. So.
All right. Very good. All right. So we're going to take a few minutes for some commercials. And after we get back, we're going to ask Joker if he's had any funny stories or incidents happening on cruise ships. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. This month they're having hot, fun giveaways, Sunday through Wednesday. Earn 800 video poker points or 400 slot points and earn a free gift of the week. Next week is a rolling picnic cooler. And the last week of the month they have an American flag throw. You do keep your points. Thursdays, you may earn free buffets. 300 points, you get a lunch buffet. 600 points, you get a dinner buffet. If you earn the 600 points early enough, you can get both buffets for the same 600 points. At the Palms, they have 7 p.m. drawings each Friday in June. You need to swipe your card before 6:45, but you do not need to be there at the drawing so long as you pick up your prize prior to midnight. Each week, $10,000 is given away to 5 winners. Good news is you don't have to be there. The bad news is that if somebody doesn't show up, the prize is forfeited and it doesn't go to anybody else. You earn 5 times entries Fridays and Tuesdays, Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m. to midnight, and 2 times entries all day Sunday and Tuesday. PFP play for points Mondays through Fridays through tomorrow. The primary reward is a Kohl's gift cards. KOHL. For the last 2 weeks of the month, beginning Monday, the primary prize is Chevron gas cards. The rate for earning these prizes is 0.25% for video poker players, 2% for slot players, and you keep the points. This is something new that most of you haven't heard about yet. If you show a premium card from another casino at the Palms, you will get at least two free buffets and either $25 or $50 in free play, depending on how premium the card is. For example, if you have a Caesars Platinum card, you get the two buffets. If you have a Diamond card, you get $25 plus the buffets. And if you have a 7-star card, you get the buffets plus $50 in free play. Your tier level at the Palms will be upgraded. For example, even if you've never played at the Palms, if you have a 7-stars card from Caesars or a Chairman's card from Stations or some equivalent, you will automatically be given Hall of Famer status. That status gives you 75% off of the buffets and allows you to avoid certain lines. VideoPoker.com remains the best place to practice a wide variety of games, including Quick Quads, Ultimate X, Extra Draw Frenzy, Hyper Bonus, and others. The weekly contests for this week are 100 Play Draw Poker with Quick Quads, Super Times Pay, and Cleopatra Kino. Now, I have no advice on Cleopatra Kino, but the 100 Play Quick Quads sounds like a real hoot to play. Now, I normally choose games based on how much the return is, what the slot club pays, what the promotion is, and the sum of those things. However, the most fun game to play is Quick Quads. In my opinion. And 100 Play Quick Quads would be quite a bit more fun than most other games. So if I can find a good pay schedule out there, that's the game for me. So far, I have not found a good pay schedule on 100 Play Quick Quads. Our guest next week is a man who is a quarter video poker player. He comes from out of town. He lives in Detroit. He flies to Vegas basically for free. He gets, and he makes $50 a day playing video poker for a week or so at a time in Vegas. And then he goes back home again, and he does this 3 or 4 or 5 times a year. This is definitely not a high roller, but enabled to, you know, fade the cost of airfare and hotel rooms and those kind of things and still have a positive EV for a quarter player, that's an accomplishment. So he's going to be telling us how he does that next week. All right, Joker, we're back to you. Funny stories happening on the cruise ships.
One that comes to mind was I was playing a blackjack game on a recent cruise, and I was sitting at third base, which everybody knows is the anchor, and I was making some plays that were pretty wild, hitting hands you wouldn't otherwise hit, using basic strategy, and this guy in center field is getting very upset with me, and you know, he was just yelling at me that I was gonna mess up the flow of the cards. And my girlfriend, not always as level-headed as me, got a little upset. They started yelling at him. She's like, you know, he yells at her, young lady, I know exactly what I'm doing. I've been dealing blackjack in Atlantic City for 20 years. He's messing up the flow of the cards. Third base makes, you know, is either makes or breaks the dealer. And keep in mind, this is a CSM. I mean, we all know it's not valid. And then on the following hand, he asks the dealer to add his hand up, although he's been dealing in Atlantic City for the past 20 years.
It does sound like it doesn't compute. So, I assume you had whole card information or something similar to cause you to make these weird plays.
Yes.
Something. All right. Very good. Is your girlfriend a competent player? Are you instructing her? Are you using her for cover? Are you using her for eye candy? How does that work?
I'm going to say all of the above.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you found the perfect woman.
Yes. I did. And I'm sure if she's listening right now, I'm sure she'll agree and be happy that I said that. But no, she's pretty competent. And when she does need pointers, it's always good to play the boyfriend-girlfriend hand or card, and in opportunities where you may need two hand or where two hands are better than one, then I can use her as an extra hand and instruct her on what hand or what play she should make, which really, you know, doubles my action. And as far as video poker, things like that, I sometimes think she might be better than I am. I find myself asking her for advice sometimes.
So, I mean, if she's Asian, you've hit the trifecta.
Coincidentally, I have an ex who was Asian who had no desire to do this whatsoever.
Well, my wife falls into that category. you know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with some other players recently, and we were speculating that to be Asian is probably worth an extra $1 million to a career of an Advantage player.
Agreed, for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That, well, you got to be betting pretty big to have that to be true. There's different levels of Advantage players.
Well, or be playing for a long time, you know.
Yeah, because their career might be a lot longer, actually, just for being Asian.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I have one friend whose girlfriend is Asian, and they'll be at the table together, clearly together, and he'll get barred, and they'll allow her to continue playing.
I had a Asian girlfriend when I moved to Vegas back in 93, and it was a relationship in Vegas lasted a year and a half or so, and it was a mixed bag, and I talk about that a lot in my autobiography, but it was she was not pleased that I would tell her how to play the hands at the table. She found that shameful, that I was proving that she wasn't bright enough to know herself. Now, obviously she did know, and I was trying to convince her that this was an act that worked good, but she wasn't buying that.
Huh. I wonder if there's an operation that you can have to, you know, make yourself look Asian.
I read an article recently where this guy down, I think in Brazil, got an operation to look, I believe, I forget if it was Taiwanese or something of the sort. It had nothing to do with Advantage play, but he'd undergone many operations to make his face represent something, you know, somebody more from Asia.
And why? Just because he liked the look better?
I think he was in like the movie business or something like that, and for whatever reason, he thought this look was better for him. And I mean, it was. I saw the picture. It was interesting, but I mean, it could work.
Huh.
Well, it's kind of late in the game for me to worry about that.
For video poker, I don't think it's much of an issue.
Well, actually, it is. They have the MGM a decade ago was if you were Asian, they were forgiving 10% of your markers. Which was a gold mine that a lot of very strong players were using. I'm not welcome at MGM anymore, so I don't know what the current policy is. But even
actually, I have heard that for video poker players, I have heard that if you're female or Asian, that you do get better mailers. I don't know if that's true or not, but I did hear that.
And so female Asian would be two-thirds of a trifecta in and of itself, I suppose.
For the female thing, I can actually vouch for that 100% with certain Caesars properties. My girlfriend used to get far better mail and more offers for about the same level of play as I would get. That was actually as recent as 6-9 months ago. Like, we'd get the same offers, and she would get bonus offers on extra days just for being female. And hosts would, I don't know if it was the age, and like being a mid-20s female.
All right. Thank you very much, Joker. Good night, everybody. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com. and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.